that life starts over right now, and it starts over again right now. And I really do think that every single moment of every single day, we're faced with a yay, no moment, which is a fancy way of saying yes, no. And the decisions that we make in those moments of truth really spell the difference between a life that brings you fulfillment and is sustainable, and a life that you just can't really wait for, you know, for your number to be called.
G'day, THY listeners. Welcome to the Hidden Why podcast, episode 416. This is my interview with Steve Olscher. My name is Lee Manuzzi. I am the host of the show and here to inspire you, at least I'm going to try, inspire you to living your life with greater passion and purpose. And to do that, I believe we need to discover our why. And when we do so, we can navigate our lives more purposefully towards living with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Every week, guys, I get to interview a couple of great speakers, great experts in their own fields to share with us their values, to share with us what they can to help us on that journey. Today's interview is with Steve Olscher. He is known as the world's foremost reinvention expert, famous for helping individuals and corporations become exceptionally clear on their what. This is the one thing they were created to do. He's got a very cool, practical, no holds barred approach to life and business that helps his clients towards achieving massive profitability while also cultivating a life of purpose, conviction, and contribution. He's the author, a New York Times best-selling author, of What Is Your What? Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do. We chat about that in this episode. We talk about the what is your what, finding your what, your core gift, and how you go about doing that. It's very aligned with what I talk about and the why. However, we do discuss that too. What is the difference between a why and a what? And look, we have disagreements throughout this episode, which I like. I like having disagreements, differences of opinion. It's not so much that we don't agree necessarily. I think it's more a fact that we have different perspectives based on how we interpret what we're saying and how we communicate it. So essentially, I think a lot of what we say is actually in agreeance. And there is that too. But it's a real cool chat, guys. And if you're looking for, you know, really seeking your purpose or seeking a greater purpose, not necessarily your purpose, I don't believe we have, you know, a core gift like he might suggest or a clear defined purpose within our DNA. Oh, I think it's something that is created throughout our life. But this is a good one to help you get clear on that anyway and to find more purpose. And in doing so, living, you know, with greater freedom, fulfillment and happiness, which is what I hope to assist people with in life. So guys, check it out. Let me know what you think. Jump onto thehiddenwhy.com and you can leave us your comments there. You can also share it with your network. So using the platform that you're listening to this on, you can tweet it out or, you know, send a message via Facebook, etc. I'd love to hear from you guys. So personally connect with me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. Leave your comments in the comment fields of this episode 416, Steve Olscher. And make sure you reach out to Steve as well. Thank him for coming on the show and check out his book. I've got all the links to the books. Two of his books that he's got, plus one that he recommended in the show as well. So you can use the Amazon link that helps support the show. And yeah, let's keep it real and keep on rolling, guys. I hope you enjoy this show and make sure you share it with your families. Thank you very much. We will talk at the other end. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hidden Why podcast. My name's Lee Manuzzi. Pumped and excited to have you here with me today. I'm joined by Steve Olscher. How are you, Steve?
Really good, man. Appreciate you having me.
Mate, it's great to have you here. You enjoying your evening?
So far, so good. You know, night's still young.
Night's still young. What time is it there?
Almost 5:30.
Okay. Well, early afternoon, early evening. Very, very cool, mate. Look, well, thank you for taking the time out to join us today. I'll look forward to our chat, and I know the audience will get some value from speaking with you too. So, well, yeah, thanks for taking the time out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Steve, tell us, mate, you've got a fantastic show, Reinvention Radio, and you've had some amazing, inspiring guests appear on your show, and you've got a couple of books out. What is it that you love? What is it that you're passionate about?
You know, man, it's interesting. It's certainly something that's evolved over the years. Mm. And I think if we're not evolving, and if that doesn't change, then, you know, I really think we're kind of stuck in molasses there. So at this point, you know what, I think what I really love more than anything else is just helping others with their own learning curves, right? And just really trying to shorten it as much as I possibly can, whether that's through business or, you know, friends who need relationship advice or, you know, personal development, whatever it might be. I'm so old now and I've done so many different things that I really feel like just I've got a lot that I can help people avoid brain damage on, and that's really what I try to do.
Avoid brain damage on. So tell us, you say you're so old now. What? How old are you?
47, be 48 this year.
Okay, cool. Well, that's not that bad.
I got a couple years left. Not sure how many, but at least two.
Well, you're making the most of it, I guess, eh?
Exactly.
I think that's what it's about. That's one thing that I'm passionate about is not living with regret and, you know, just making the most of my time that I've got. Assume is the case for you as well.
No, not at all. I got lots of regrets. Are you kidding?
So why you? Like, why do you feel it's something that you can do or want to do to help others, you know, live their life? Has it been something to do with the journey that you've gone on and the learnings that you've had in that process? Is there something
similar? Yeah, I mean, that's really what it boils down to is in my book, What Is Your What? And I know you talk about the hidden why. I talk about your what. And to me, you know, it's really what is internal. It's in your DNA. There's really nothing you can do about it. It's just kind of that which has chosen you as opposed to that which you have chosen. But one of the key elements of the What Is Your What framework is really being able to gain a clear understanding of the people that you're most compelled to serve. And oftentimes we figure that out by going through our own inventory of attributes and beliefs and perspectives. And that will leads a lot of folks directly towards what it is that they feel like they're most here to do, right, at this particular juncture. And so as someone who has been an entrepreneur for 25 plus years, I feel as though I've made enough mistakes over those years that I could really help people avoid a lot of the same. As someone who has been divorced and now married for 20 plus years, I feel like I can help people on that front, right? And from a personal development standpoint, having written books and taught workshops and so on. I mean, there's no shortage of things that I've been able to do over the course of my life. And it really just boils down to, can I help someone with moving beyond where they are now? I really do think it's a matter of being able to meet people where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's up to the individual to those who want to listen and commit to it. You know, there's people like yourself out there that are willing to give advice and share their knowledge. You know, not that you have all the answers maybe, but, you know, share what you do know to help them with that process. And it'll take the courage of those who want to make that change in their life or want to, you know, move in a different direction to ask the questions and reach out.
Yeah, well, I can tell you most of the people that I know, at least in my generation, are kind of stubborn, just like I was, you know, and from the standpoint of if I had someone like myself who could have answered a lot of the questions that I had to answer by myself, right, through trying to figure out and going down that path by myself, I'd probably have a lot more zeros in the bank account. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about that. I'd probably have relationships that were of much higher quality. But, you know, reality is it took time to figure out how to do all of those things. And well, we can only lead a horse to water, like you said. I mean, we just can't make him drink.
Yeah. And I think that's the case. I mean, part of me thinks that, you know, it is up to us to sort of go on that journey ourselves and make those discoveries. And that's what makes the discoveries more profound, I think. But also, as you said, like for me personally, if I had someone that's gone through the journey that I have over the last few years walk with me through that several years prior, I would have perhaps been a lot more further to where I am today years earlier.
Yeah.
But and part of the journey.
And I will say, I was just going to say, I will say that, you know, it doesn't take much to be further down the path either. I mean, you're probably familiar with the expression about to a second grader, a fifth grader is a god, right? And I just think that we have oftentimes we have an issue with feeling like we need to have accomplished more, be further down the path before we can really help people. And I just don't think that's the case.
Mm. So what do you mean by that? Sorry, let's go there for a second. So for those people that are out there, everyone's got some value to offer.
I believe that everyone has something to teach. Yeah, I believe that all of us are an expert in something. Uh-huh. And it doesn't require you to have made millions of dollars or to have been married for 30 years or to have built successful businesses from the ground, whatever. None of that stuff is relevant if what you've already gone through is something that someone has yet to experience and needs help. Or wants help getting past that bridge.
Yeah, right. Okay, so don't get fixated on the fact that you need to be someone or have something more in your life before you can start to sort of contribute in a meaningful way based on your knowledge and skills.
Yeah, and again, I mean, if you've been through the fifth grade and you've got a second grader behind you, you can help that second grader figure out what to do.
Yeah, okay. So what, and you talk about, what is your what and, figuring out what you're born to do, as part of your DNA, do you think it's something that we are born to do? Do you think we're all born to do something in particular, or is it something that we get to create and decide on what we want to do?
I don't think that we are born to do something in particular.
Yeah.
The subtitle of the book is Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do. And probably what it should be subtitled is Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do for Now. Hmm. Right? Because reality is life happens. You go through different experiences. You meet different people. Things happen. And in those periods of transition is really where you'll find what it is that you're to do next. That said, I do think that your core gift, and just so we're clear, the what is your what framework is comprised of your core gift, which is what's in your DNA, right? I mean, it's something that could be like entertaining or enrolling or protecting or healing or, communicating, one of those things. The primary vehicle that you will use to share that gift, and then the people that you're most compelled to serve. So I believe that your core gift.
So that is something that we're born with?
I believe that we are born with that core gift. The vehicle and the people, those are more organic. Those can change over time.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still asking that question myself, whether we do have a core gift in this or not, or if it's just something that's generated through our life and experiences.
Now, if you think back on the things that you've done, you'll see a common thread. If you look back on the things that you've done successfully in your life, you'll see a common thread.
Yeah, but there's also a common thread in the environment and the way I was brought up as well compared to someone else. Like, I mean, if I've got three older brothers, so if I compare, my gift to their gift, I mean, there's common threads obviously in our upbringings, but essentially there's some differences in what we all want to achieve as well.
Mm-hmm. And there certainly could be similarities, right? I mean, you've got the same genes. Absolutely. For the most part, but I would venture to guess if you really sat down and looked at what each of your core gifts are, you'd probably be surprised that it would be very, I'll put it to you this way, the odds of it all of you having the same gift is very, very slim.
Yeah, well, we're all on different paths as well. Do you think in saying that too, that we get caught up in paths that perhaps aren't aligned with this core gifts for reasons of going after external, sort of measurements of defining who we are?
I think that's the case for most people, yeah. I think what you find is we get caught up in commodity-driven circles, right, in trying to do something simply because we see an opportunity to do it. And seldom will a commodity-oriented opportunity and what it is that truly puts fire in your soul intersect.
Uh-huh. So what sort of advice or practical tips do you have to sort of, I guess, align people with that core gift to their what? What sort of practices do you encourage people to go through to discover those things?
Yeah, and I really do think that for a lot of people, if they have no clue in terms of what their core gift truly is, that it may actually be easier to start with the subset of the population that you're most compelled to serve. And so you can start with the people. And oftentimes starting with the people is the easiest thing to do because, I mean, look, reality is it could be any number of people. It could be fifth graders and you just want to, those are your people. I mean, you want to teach them and make sure they get, you know, into the middle school education system off on the right foot. It could be, you know, people who don't have clean drinking water in India. It could be vets who have come back from war and are wounded. I mean, it could be any of those things and so many, many, many more. And look at what it is that they most need. And as you look at what it is that they most need and how you most feel compelled to serve them, you'll back into how you can serve them. And then you'll back into the way in which you're best wired to serve them. Mm-hmm. And if it's something that you're not able to do, you may be actually able to enroll others in your vision. And what you may find is that your gift, in fact, is not on the line of the execution. It's actually on the line of the enrolling other people into your vision. And enrolling is actually a core gift that some people have.
So, yeah, rather than directly going to the source of people you want to serve, you sort of go indirectly to exactly. helping that cause. How do people find, you know, what who to serve? I mean, because I, you know, from my past and then from the crowds I hang in, you know, I don't think people have that idea of, hey, this is sort of the audience that I want to serve. I mean, people will, you know, certainly if you present this question to them, they'll probably start to think about it. But without that thought, I mean, I don't know. Do people really have that sort of group of people that they wish to serve? Or is it something that you have to sort of go, hey, well, that sounds like it might be of interest to me. Yeah, it sort of aligns with something that I think I might be interested in. Let's see what happens there and just follow that path. Or is it something deeper than that?
No, I think the point is really well taken that most people will go through life without having clarity around who they're compelled to serve and how they want to serve them. Because, you know, if everybody was out living their what, who would pick up the garbage, right? I mean, who would, you know, who would be doing the things that others don't necessarily want to do? Although it could be argued that someone who is picking up the garbage is in fact doing what it is that they most enjoy doing. Maybe they love being outside. You know, maybe they are most compelled to serve the environment, right? So, you know, it's not for us to say why, but I will say that this isn't something that we teach in our schools. It isn't something that we talk a lot about around the dinner table. So it's not unusual whatsoever for people to go through potentially even an entire lifetime without honing in on their core gift, on the vehicle they'll use to share that gift or the people they're most compelled to serve. Some will be lucky and will grab one of the three. Some may grab two, but very, very few are able to identify all three.
So how do we you know, what's the reason for that? Why do you think we're not connecting with, you know, a bigger sort of reason to serve a group of people or a person? Is it because we're so focused internally on our own issues in life? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, I think some people are under the mindset that sort of life is okay for others, but not for themselves. You know, right. where the life of waking up with a fire in your soul, waking up knowing there's not enough hours in the day to get done what you've got to get done, waking up knowing that things that used to bother you will carry a lot less weight, right? I mean, the truth is we are in a very, well, interesting period of time where living selfishly, if you will, is frowned upon. And living selfishly doesn't mean living without a sense of helping others. It just means living in a way where you don't always have to sacrifice who you are and what you do simply to appease the whims and the agendas of others.
Hmm. So you think that's sort of the movement we're seeing in the world?
I think in large measure we're seeing people lose some degree of sense of self in terms of who they are and how they can best take care of themselves, as opposed to putting other people first, right? I mean, it's like, it's the difference between the why and the what, right? I mean, if you think about the why is something that you choose. You do something because you want to take care of your family, or you want to feed starving children in Africa, or you want to provide that clean drinking water to families in India, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And we get caught up thinking that the why is the path, that the why provides the answers. And reality is, you very well may find temporary satisfaction and fulfillment doing those things. But I don't believe that if you are pursuing something for any reason other than it reflects what you truly want to do, that it's sustainable.
Okay. Let's just sort of define the differences there between the why and the what. So the why is sort of a more of a motivation for doing something, and the what is what you're doing.
So again, I believe that as it's defined, although, look, I had Simon Sinek on Reinvention Radio. We talked about the difference between the why versus the what, and he'll tell you it's a semantical difference. I'll tell you that in my way of thinking, it's very, very different. Because again, I believe that you can choose your why. I don't believe that your DNA is something that you can choose. It's either there or it's not. So I think about it in terms of your why is that which is external, and your what is that which is internal. And this is something I've been teaching for the better part of 10 years. So this is not, this is not something that I just created. Oh, I read Start With Why and I started doing this whole what thing. This is something I've been doing for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, no, look, I sort of believe the why is more of an internal motivational source than an external motivational source. Yes, there are things, in my opinion, that will motivate us that are sort of externally related, but the best motivation is from within, and it's created from the place of why.
It's also, it's also created from the standpoint of if you think about, and this is part of what we do in the book, is we help people go through that process of identifying where to start, right? Because, like the Myers-Briggs and the what color is your parachutes and those sort of things, a lot of them leave you with more questions than answers. And that was really the intention behind this what is your what framework, is to help people really hit the ground running.
I think that's what's important too, but isn't it? To have people just actually doing that introspective and asking the internal questions.
I think so, for sure. And so part of what we do is we actually in the book have folks create what I referred to earlier as the ABP statement, that alpha beta pineapple statement. So, but what it stands for is attributes, beliefs, and perspectives. And reality is, you have certain attributes that make you who you are, right? I mean, you're a man, you're a father, you're a cancer survivor, you're a basketball player, you're a jiu-jitsu practitioner. I mean, whatever those things are, those are your attributes. You're short, you're tall, you're skinny, you're fat, you're white, you're black, you're Asian, you're Hispanic. I mean, whatever, right? I mean, those are all of the things that make up your particular attributes. Yep. And then you have your beliefs, right? I mean, I believe in God. I believe in believe in free speech. I believe in a woman's right to choose, right? I mean, these are all things that people believe in. And then you have your perspectives, which just basically reflect how you see the world based on your experiences. And so as you go through identifying what those attributes and beliefs and perspectives are, it often becomes an interesting little game where some of the things that you write down will actually jump off the paper at you. And you're just sitting there going, geez, yeah, those are the things that I'm really fired up about. And these other things are just kind of okay. But it is interesting how once you write those things down, you'll see certain things on that paper where you're like, yeah, this is definitely, this is where I feel the most passionate, And so it's an interesting exercise.
Oh, okay, I like it. Certainly, I'll stick that in the show notes, guys. So just have a look at that and pick up a copy of Steve's book. You'll probably find out some more information about that there. So, I mean, I guess it's all really about getting people to start somewhere and to start taking some action. But it's like everything, it's easier said than done to say, okay, we'll go out there and find what your core gift is, and then start sort of aligning your life with that. It's a lot more tricky than that, especially if you've lived a life for so many years not knowing who you really want to serve, not knowing, you know, what it is your gift is. And I think people get attached to this idea of that they need to find that before everything starts working. And I don't think that's the case. I think that actually traps people in sort of a false sense of hope, thinking that, you know, they're just going to find it. It'll come up soon and it'll present itself, rather than actually doing the work to sort of create it. And that's sort of the realization I've had anyway. But what do you sort of suggest is to get started, to actually start this whole process, to, you know, start that process of asking these questions and really figuring out what it is?
Well, again, I do think that there's a number of different ways for folks to begin down that path, not the least of which is starting with that AVP statement. And then, of course, you know, the book itself has a number of different exercises that can help people. But let's talk sort of kind of on a higher level than other than just go get the book. And so what I agree with you with 100% is that, you know, there's never going to be that moment in time where someone's going to come to the door and they're going to anoint you and they're going to say, hey, you're ready. You know, let's go ahead and get started here. And here's what you're going to do.
You got that lucky letter in the mail. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That, that never happens. But what can happen is that you can start down, basically you can start down concurrent paths, right? I believe that, first of all, I hope we're not dumb enough to quit our day jobs and stop trying to keep that roof over the head and keeping food on the table, right? So if you're lucky enough to have a job that pays you, don't quit that day job. But really be willing to enter into the transition and go on concurrent paths where you try a number of different things. I mean, there's a lot of hours in the day. You know, no matter how we slice it, even if you've got a 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, whatever it might be, 7 to 3, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's a lot of hours in the day. And so go to bed an hour earlier, stay up an hour later, wake up an hour earlier, stay up an hour later, use the time in transport, use your lunch hours, use the time after work, use the week, et cetera, to really start kind of dipping your toe in the water on a number of these things that are of interest to you, right? And really, you know, it's all well and good on paper, but until you actually do something, you never really know if it's something you truly want to do. I mean, you may sit here and say, God, I want to be one of those guys on stage, you know, who's a Tony Robbins like person, and I want to lead personal development events, and you know, that's what I want to do, right? And that may not be the case, but it might. But I can tell you that if you go out and you volunteer in an event like that, and maybe at some point you're able to go on stage for a minute and talk and maybe do some teaching, you'll find out much quicker if in fact that is something that you want to do.
Right. Yeah.
So volunteering is a great way to start figuring out if something that you think you want to do is something that you actually want to do. Be an apprentice, you know, in the off hours and figure out if that's actually what you do want to do. And again, just really think about it in terms of, you know, right now you've got 100% of your income being derived from what it is that you may not necessarily want to be doing. So if you use those off hours to start creating some income from what it is that you do want to do, you'll find pretty quickly that, okay, now that I'm starting to generate some revenue from what I do want to do, it's kind of like a recipe mixture and it starts to shift, right? So like now 99% of your income is derived from what you don't really want to be doing and 1% is derived from what you do. And then as more and more income starts to come into your world, well, now that recipe mixture gets to 90-10 and 80-20 and 70-30 and 60-40, et cetera, et cetera. And at some point, you'll figure out when you can actually cut the rope and start doing this on a full-time basis. But to just jump in and do something on a full-time basis without having true clarity around whether or not it's something that you really, in fact, love doing and can actually make real money doing, then you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot before you even get out of the starting blocks.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good advice. So you're looking at your passions and looking for some things that might excite you or that you have some curiosity in. I'm just trying to summarize it for the audience. And you, again, using that ABP statement, attributes, beliefs, and perspectives to sort of analyze your passions, etc. And then really using that experimental trial approach to it. So going out there and just giving things a go, experiencing it. And in that experience, deciding whether, yeah, hey, this actually feels good, this feels right, and exploring it further and gradually increasing. That's a good summary?
That's a very, very good summary. And again, it all really just boils down to getting the answers to the three parts of the what is your what framework in terms of your gift, your the vehicle, and the people. And you may find that you've got two of the three pieces right, but if the third piece isn't correct, it's a lot like a tripod. I mean, you could stand for a little while, but eventually that thing's going to topple over.
Yeah, right. And as you said, it evolves, you know, it takes time and it'll keep evolving as you build into it and have more experience there. You also sort of talk about, you know, that transition from your main source of income now to another source of income. And I personally feel that it's a little bit deeper than that, that it's not just about the money aspect. And certainly as, you know, whilst money is an important part of our life and a lot of people value it, great. I think it can sort of lead us down wrong paths as well. And for me, the greatest quality of my life has come from not doing things about doing things for myself that feel right for me, that actually help and serve other people in a good way as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I will say this, which is I think we have unrealistic expectations about what, quote unquote, feels good in terms of the work that we do. And, you know, my friend Larry Winget has a book out called Work for a Reason.
Yeah.
You know, and not everything that you do is going to feel awesome. And it may not be the highest and best use of your abilities. But that's just, you know, that's just the reality of life. And you've got to, it just has to be small enough to be tolerable.
Uh-huh. Do you think you can find joy in what you're doing? But I mean, even if you've got, you know, something that you're passionate about, something that you've incorporated into your life that's now earning you income, you've given up your other job. Yes, there's going to be parts of that that may be, you know, not as enjoyable as some of the other aspects, but the overall entire motivation for the bigger picture doesn't that, you know, in my sort of experience, that actually brings me joy. Despite what I'm doing, even if it's something that's not quite, you know, great, I can still appreciate how it all connects to the bigger picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I just think that you end up putting a lot of pressure on yourself to try to figure all of this out, you know, and that's the hardest part here is I just think we have to be more forgiving and kinder to ourselves where you just don't have to sit there and really try to figure out what that is that you were, you know, truly put here to do. Yeah. I think it will come on its own. And if you stop the journey, it's kind of like when you're trying to find someone who you want to have a meaningful relationship with, not a Tinder relationship, but, you know, a meaningful relationship. The harder that you look, the more difficult it is to really be able to find that someone, because you're almost in that mode of desperation, and people pick up on that desperation. And they can smell it a mile away, and nobody wants to be with a desperate person. And it's kind of the same way with yourself. I mean, if you were desperate in terms of you know, I have to find out what this is, that's something that is, well, it's going to put a lot of pressure on you unnecessarily to figure that out.
Yeah, it's a good point you bring up, actually, because I remember exactly that, searching for a girl in my life many years ago, and that pressure that I put on myself, it made things unbearable. It made the journey, the process unbearable, and I didn't have any good results from that focus. And I think it raises the point about trying to find, again, I don't want to use the wrong terms here, but finding joy in the process, you know, finding the right motivation in the process and not being attached to some sort of result. That may be without your control anyway. And in doing that, you just start to, you know, it starts to be a more enjoyable journey.
Yeah. And in reality is some people may never find that one thing, if you will, because they're already doing something that is either meaningful for themselves or is really meaningful for others. And they just may feel like it's not enough. And sometimes what feels like enough actually is more than enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah, look, I mean, I don't think my search will ever stop. I think there's just too many things that I'm curious of as I've sort of investigated and experienced with things. I just find more and more stuff that I'm curious about, and that sort of increases and expands my desires of things I want to do and achieve. And whilst I say, you know, I talk about the why all the time, it's really just having this passion for life and being purposeful to pursuing that passion. And it's not about, you know, necessarily that, you know, working on something that you love and then making a great life out of that. I get that you have to work hard and there's some things that you won't enjoy, but just that passionate curiosity for life, I think, is what fires me up and what makes me desire more and pursue more.
Yeah. Yeah. And reality is most of us are not going to be in a position where we're going to be able to do something that the rest of the world kind of looks at and goes, yeah, that's not really working. You know, I mean, like the athlete or the movie star or, you know, those sort of roles. But reality is, if you ask the movie star or the athlete, are they working hard? I mean, it's a relative term, but when you look at an athlete, for instance, in America, when you have a baseball player who gets paid an extraordinary amount of money to hit a ball with a stick, you're still talking about 162 games a year. You're talking about practice. You're talking about playoffs. You're talking about road travel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a lot of people who say, well, geez, for that money, I'd do it all day long. But even then, you know, it's like, God, do I really want to get up and hit this ball again today? You know what I mean? It's after a while.
We know too many stories out there of celebrities and famous people that have had these lives of glitz and glamour that have ended it because obviously there was some part of their life missing, even though they, you know, and that's the reality of it. Those guys in the spotlight, you know, may not have that fulfillment. And actually, it brings me to another question I want to ask you. What do you think is the primary goal that unites us all in life? Or do you think there is one?
So just want to make sure I understand the question. So the primary, what do I think is the primary
purpose or goal of life is that may unite
us all? Of life. Yeah, of life. So it's interesting. If I were to have answered that question 10 years ago, I would have said, you know, it's to win the game of money. You know, it's to win that game. It's to make as much money as you can so you can do the things that you want to do. And I think today, as I look at it, it's so interesting how, I mean, I love the youth. You know, I mean, I really admire the way our 20-somethings and 30-somethings are living. There was an interesting little gap there between their generation and ours. So whatever is after Gen X, and I know there was Gen Y, and then there was another kind of generation right after that. I think maybe millennials. So somewhere between millennial and Gen Y, you started to see people really shift towards not working to have money so that you could then do the things that you want, but really do the things that you want and then kind of figure out the money side of the equation later.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty phenomenal shift. And that's something that is, I mean, really, that's a fairly new phenomenon.
Yeah.
And so I do think that the secret of life, if you will, is really found in all of those things that you were hoping to do in retirement, or found in all of those things that you would do when you were able to take that vacation, or found in all of those things that you would do when you could spend that quality time with your family, right? And it's interesting, but I really do think that that is, in fact, the best way to live our lives today, more so than perhaps ever, which is to have those experiences and to do those things that you feel like there's a time and a place to do once you can do those things, when in fact, I really do believe that that's right here, right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I'm certainly not a millennial, but they do inspire me in that sense. And certainly it's a way that I've started to live my life. I mean, I was all about committing to the work and earning the money to invest in properties and, you know, wait until that retirement so I could, you know, do what I wanted. But I've done a total backflip on that. And now really, I realize that I could live the life that I wanted right now. And yeah, maybe with a little bit less in the process, but with great joy of the process too. And that's really, you know, been about setting up my life about how I want to be, rather than trying to be around a life that I've set up that isn't quite conducive to that state of being.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I had a conversation with a friend, and sometimes we say things that were like, oh man, that was pretty good. Maybe I'll make a meme out of that, right? So I had one of those conversations where I was talking about some trials and some tribulations that I'm going through personally right now, with a business dealing that has turned sour. And I was saying to this person that, you know, really, I just think as we grow older, we get more mature. And as we get more mature, we grow wiser. And I think really the difference between the two is that as you grow mature, more mature, maturity is seeking guidance when you're faced with really important decisions. And wisdom is truly knowing which decisions are important. And I think only those things, I think they only happen with time. I mean, I don't think that any of us are born with a sense of maturity, and I don't think any of us are really born with any powerful wisdom. I think it just is a function of turning that corner of your life. And unfortunately for some of us, we have to keep trying to turn too soon. We keep banging into that, you know, that brick wall, and we're not yet at the corner to turn.
Yeah, I like it. And I couldn't agree more. There's a quote that I'll butcher if I try and remember it, but I certainly believe, you know, we will mature more personally the further we go on our own journey and become our own guide, rather than sort of relying on all the externals to guide us in life. And that will lead to, you know, greater wisdom quicker as well, I think, if you do that. So the sooner people can get out there and start just following their own paths, and that might be by doing what they love, doing what they want to do now, despite, you know, the lack of income or whatever it might be, status, etc., that they'll become wiser in the process from doing that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Mate, it's cool stuff. I love it. And yeah, thanks for answering the questions. I want to encourage people to check out your book as well. So it is called What Is Your What? Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do. So I'll stick that link into the show notes there at thehiddenwhy.com. So you'll be able to pick up a link using the Amazon link there and help support the show in doing that as well. Steve, I've got a bunch of questions I ask all guests. So the first one I want to ask you is, do you have any routines or rituals that you believe contribute to your success?
I mean, this is probably where I lose most of your audience, but, I will say this, which is I am I'm a big fan of the cannabis, and I will say I do most of my creative thinking and I get a lot of really interesting ideas, under the influence. And so, you know, God grew it. We should smoke it.
All right. That's the first one I've had anyone answer that, so that's absolutely fine, mate. I don't disagree or agree, but you know, you got to do what you got to do, and I think it is a pretty good drug. It's not one that I agree with personally myself, but I know plenty of people that do like it, and You know, I don't see it having any major effects on their lives anyway.
Yeah. Well, how many people do you know that that are angry smokers? Not too many.
No, exactly. I mean, I know, more angry drinkers, and I'm a drinker. recently having given up that, I've actually, sort of done 3 months now almost. And, it's had great effects in my life. And certainly, people that bag cannabis, when all this drinking is happening around us, they go, what is going on in the world? Like, can't they see? And it's good, obviously. It's becoming a bit more of acceptable over there in the States too, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So I don't see any problem with that. I like your answer. Thank you. Honesty. And what advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
Smoke more weed? No. I think that the best answer that I can give is my 20-year-old self actually was so I DJed for a number of years in the clubs and whatnot. And my DJ name was Mr. Bold. So I've always kind of lived my life in a bold manner. And at 20, I'd already opened up my own nightclub. So, I've always been one of those people that wouldn't be afraid to try something. Mm. And so I wouldn't suggest to my 20-year-old self to do something different in terms of trying different things or something of that nature. But what I would say to my 20-year-old self is just don't try to do this on your own, and don't try to do something that at the end of the day could have been avoided if you had just simply put your ego aside and asked someone to provide guidance for that decision.
Yeah. It's amazing when you start doing that and the amount of people that want to help you, it's out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Good advice. What is your meaning of success?
It's interesting. Let me go the other way, which is a lot of people talk about failure. And for me, failure is really just success with an unintended ending. So I really do believe that my definition of success boils down to being willing to quote unquote fail, because there is no such thing as failure. It's really just one of those terms of ignorance that weak-minded people like to throw out at those who dare to soar and attempt to bring them down. So I really think it's just a reframe around what failure actually is, and success to me then would be a reflection of that.
Okay, I like that. And do you have a piece of productivity advice you'd like to share, something that makes you more effective in your day?
No, because it's funny. I get a lot of stuff done, but at the same token, I am easily distracted. So I would simply say the best thing to do is just to pick a really ridiculous goal or really ridiculous something that you want to do, whether it's a live event or in my world, write a book or a live event or create a course or whatever it might be, and just set a date and announce it. Like for me in my world, I do a lot of things with affiliate partners. So if I'm going to create a new course, I set the date first, design what it is, and then do everything that needs to happen in order to get that done.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I like that too. And that's some pretty cool advice actually. Just to
set same thing that with the live event, just set the date.
Yeah.
Just set the date and figure out how to get it done by then. A realistic date. I mean, we can't do it next week, but set a date 6 months from now and you have now been held to you're holding yourself accountable.
Yeah. That's good. And then, ambitious goal that you can reach that's realistic, following those principles, of course, that they talk about. Cool. I like that. And any advice that you'd give to someone else looking to make a change in their life, whatever that change might be?
Yeah, just understand that change is not necessarily the death of something. It's just adding something onto what you've already done. So I don't see it as having to eliminate something from your life in order to do something else.
Yeah.
Change to me is just simply about And if you look at it that way, you'll find that all of the things that you do, all the relationships that you have, all the endeavors that you seek to create and pursue, they all just add up into one really amazing go. And some of it's going to go quote unquote well, and some of it's not. Mm. But it just really boils down to understanding that change in a lot of ways isn't reflective of doing anything different in terms of changing who you are. I believe that most of the time when we change, it's just a matter of becoming more of who we already inherently are.
Right. I like that. Yeah, very cool. And what is your favorite food?
Oh, man. You know, I think I'm a sucker for barbecue. If you can get me a good barbecue going, I'll be there at the dining room table all day long.
Cool. And favorite leisure activity?
I'm a jiu-jitsu practitioner. So I've been doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu for the better part of about 16 years now. So when I have time, that's what I enjoy doing.
Okay, cool. And do you have a favorite book or one you've read recently you'd like to recommend?
It's interesting. I mean, I'm an author and I don't do a lot of reading, but I've been reading, my kids are a little bit older and I've been reading them a book by the name of Cain and Abel, which is just kind of historical fiction, people coming out of World War II. But, that's a really interesting book. And way back when I had a chance to get to know J. Conrad Levinson, fairly well before he passed, he was the author of Guerrilla Marketing. And I would say it's an oldie but a goodie. And if you haven't picked up Guerrilla Marketing, I highly recommend that you do.
All right, cool. Do you have a favorite quote?
Favorite quote? I will simply say that I will. How about this? I will quote my own stuff because I have found that I don't really listen well to others, but I certainly listen to my own memes. So one of the things that I said recently in a book and created a meme around it is that life starts over right now, and it starts over again right now. And I really do think that every single moment of every single day we're faced with a yay no moment, which is a fancy way of saying yes no. And the decisions that we make in those moments of truth really spell the difference between a life that brings you fulfillment and is sustainable, and a life that you just can't really wait for your number to be called.
Cool, I like it. And do you believe we all have a why?
I believe that we can all choose a why.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe we can all choose a why, and if that's what gets you fired up, then cool. And at the end of the day, it's not for me to say whether or not focusing on that why is a good thing or a bad thing. Hmm. But if you find yourself being driven from an external source, then by all means, have at it.
Okay, cool. And what about living life with passion and purpose? What does that mean to you?
It means pressure.
Okay. And why is that?
It really means just putting undue pressure on yourself to try to live, kind of by the whims and the agendas of others, and to live a life that others define as being worthwhile. And from my perspective, passion and purpose and so on, are all sort of mandated objectives that others have put forth as a way with which to measure whether or not our existence has meaning.
Oh, okay. Interesting. And Steve, how can people best reach out to you and find out more about your books, etc.?
I would say best thing to do would be to start with Reinvention Radio and see what your thoughts are around that. And if you can survive that show and you're still interested in learning more, then Steve Olsher, OLSHER.com.
Yeah, cool.
It's certainly the next best place to go.
All right, guys, I'll stick those links in the show notes. Just check out the podcast, the show, Reinvention Radio. It's certainly, you've had some great guests on there. So a cool show to have a listen into. and also his website as well. I'll stick the links in the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com, episode 416 with Steve Olscher. Mate, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it, and I appreciate all your honest and open thoughts.
Yeah, I'm happy to have had the opportunity to be here, so thank you for that.
It's cool, mate. Let's stay connected. And guys, tune in next time on thehiddenwhy.com. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your life. Cheers. Peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon. There you have it, gang. That's today's episode done. What did you think? Did you enjoy it? Did it bring you some value? I'd love to hear from you. Make sure you jump onto thehiddenwhy.com to this episode and leave your comments in the fields below. Also, connect with me, guys, while you're there. Facebook, Twitter, and my email address, thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you guys. I'd love to hear about what you're passionate about, what brings you joy in life. So connect with me there, guys, any way you wish. Also, guys, I want to ask you, before you go, for a huge, huge, huge favor. And the favor is simple. It's just to go to thehiddenwhy.com and subscribe to my newsletter. And here's why. I want to keep you up to date on a project that I've been working on. For the last year, I've been writing my newest book called The Ultimate Life Map. It's really about helping people align their lives with their purpose, with their why, so they can live more truly, freely, fulfilled, and happy. That's what it's all about. So if I can get into more hands, then I can help more people with that. But in doing so, the funds from this book, guys, I'm going to launch a project to help raise funds to support a third world community, to build skills there, to help these children that aren't as privileged as we are, that don't have all the resources that we have, so they can set themselves up and hopefully live towards a more promising life as well. So guys, I really want to ask for your help, and the best thing you can do for me right now is just to subscribe to my newsletter. Jump online, subscribe to the newsletter, and that way I can keep you up to date with what's going on, guys. You can help me really, you know, spread the message, get this book out there into more hands, and in doing so, we can raise funds to support this community. I've got a couple of options there now, so more information on that to come as well. But guys, that's my favor from you today. Please just jump online, subscribe to my newsletter so I can keep you posted with this project. I'm really passionate about it, guys, and it'd be really great if you can support me with this. That's it from me, guys. You know what to do. You need to go out there, breathe more passion into every single moment. You need to do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is Lee Manozzi. Thank you. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.